Thank you all. Oh, I love you guys. And I just love what the Lord has done this morning alone, just through Chris's word specifically. I had a question for us before I start. What is God going to do today? Hey? What is God going to do today? And I heard and I learned a new word, and I hope it's Hebrew, but I hope that I pronounced it correctly, but it's T-O-D-A-H, Toda, or Toda, or whatever you want. Okay, but what it means is Toda, Toda, yeah, today, today, Toda, Toda, okay? It means praise for what he's about to do. So, Lord, this morning, Holy Spirit, I need you always, but especially today. Especially today, as I open my mouth, please would your truth come out. We are expectant today, Lord God, for what you are going to do. Each one of us have things that we lay on the altar today and say, Father, I'm expectant for what you are about to do. Amen. So this is the Holy Spirit part 8. Kevin did 7 last week and I listened. It was great. Thank you. I want to thank my husband and the elders for entrusting this microphone to me. See, it's all written down for me so I don't forget anything. Okay. So, I want to show us a clip. If you could put the lights out and the clip must come on. Okay. And love me afterwards. Okay, so, lights. Yes. And repeat after me, I still love you, Bridge. That is quite funny, right? Not so much. Okay, if that's how it translates into our spiritual walk with the Lord, not so much. We don't want any of those disco balls anywhere near us. What it really is about us, the title of this is The Holy Spirit and Resident Aliens. And we are, every one of us, a resident alien. We have a citizenship in heaven. We might be here in the flesh, but we have a citizenship in heaven. Who has a passport here? Every hand. Huh? No, we're changing passports in the next couple of weeks. Keep praying, okay? Woo, hence the red shirt, I want you to know. Just saying. But really, our citizenship is in heaven established. Ephesians 2:13, and then I'm going to skip a bit to 18 and 19 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Romans 8:5 to 8 in the Message says, "Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end." You've got to love that man who wrote this Bible. "Living and breathing, living and breathing. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Trying to survive on our own without the Holy Spirit is ultimately a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores God, who is, and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased about being ignored. I never wrote that. Mr. Peterson did. Okay. So I believe that, and you know how I talk when I preach, I actually do the notes, all like 10 pages, but it's in font 18. Okay, so don't be afeard. It's because I don't want to wear these. Mark thinks I'm proudful, but it's not. It's out of sheer necessity. So anyway, so I write everything down that comes to me as I sit in the weeks before preparing for you. Just saying. Right. So I believe that when we are kingdom-minded, okay, we stand much more chance of walking with and consequently being led by the Holy Spirit. When we know what our true identity is and our citizenship and where it is, okay, whose stamp is actually on that heavenly document? When we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's when we can take hold of being a resident alien, because we are really just passing through. Romans 4:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's what we get for following the Holy Spirit. When we are primarily connected with the Holy Spirit in relationship, it becomes so natural that very often we don't realize we're being led by Him. He orders our steps, Scripture says, and so we walk. And when we trust Him to use us to say and to do what He says and wants us to, I'm telling you, adventures in the Holy Spirit are the order of the day. Okay? They are supernatural experiences because He's a supernatural God. Because there's an interaction that takes place when we're listening and actually hearing and doing what the Holy Spirit shows us what to say and do. It's a delicious agreement, really a delicious agreement, a safe, really, and a fruitful agreement. Okay, when we're not doing it in our own strength. Mark, put the camera away. Building on what Kevin said last week, you can edit that out, okay? Kidding. I'm thirsty, Lovey. I can't actually, please, can you just give me that? Sorry, thanks. Just sorting myself. I'm not used to these glasses. I nearly drank out of the microphone. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Okay, where was I? Page 2 still. Okay. All right. Building on what Kevin said last week, peace is paramount. It's the barometer. If we have a barometer in the Spirit that settles us with peace right about here, okay, then there's a good chance that we've actually heard the Holy Spirit or being led by Him, can walk with Him knowing, with our posture, knowing that He is the one who's leading us, right? I don't know about you, but when I'm not in alignment or agreement with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I don't have peace. I like to think I do. So when I get a Bridget idea, which I get, because I was an only child, I have a great imagination, I've learned to gauge my peace barometer before I rush in where even angels are going with their wings, okay? Because I can really do that very easily. It's part of my intrinsic makeup that I am more bold than reticent. So I've got to actually just bring a balance to that, and the peace is my barometer. Again, I don't want that disco ball anywhere near me. Okay. You like that clip, hey? I bet you're all going to go home now and just go, YouTube. Even David, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, implored the Lord in Psalm 51:11, "Do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." That's what I ask today. Holy Spirit, you're right here with me as I deliver this. Let it be like a laser treatment in everybody's heart today, Father. Thank you. How do we do life without the Holy Spirit? Sitting with us today is a lady called Gail. I've only just met her. She's Lindy's mom. But Gayla's best friends, or very good friends, of a neighbor that we had who literally lived up the driveway from us. We had a, what they call a panhandle. And Noah's family that I know, and that family, one of those members, led me to Jesus. I don't know, about 100 years ago, but it was a long time ago. And in that house that we lived in, 86 Alfred Road, in that house, that's where I drank the most before the Lord delivered me. And this morning, singing that Mark mentioned, and just knowing that you were here, it was like he just gave me a little video clip. See? That's all I felt him say. See? See? God can do anything. We need to remember that. He can take the mess. He can bring beauty where there have been ashes. Ultimately, all the good inclinations we have and the preferences and the desires, all the good ones come from the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we're just flesh, right? Some of us have a bit more than others. Love me, more to love. I heard that little snigger. And Paul said in Romans 7:18, I know that in me, there is in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Romans 8:7, for the mind of the flesh is hostile. I've never seen it like this before. The mind of the flesh, the mind of the flesh is hostile to God's law and does not submit to it because it cannot. Cannot, not meant to. So before I had this thought. So before we were saved, our spirits were dormant, right? And so we did our own thing, right? Okay? Because that's what we knew. That's what we knew. But now, with us here, hopefully everyone, if not everyone, then today, please, Lord, let there be everyone who's here, with the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, who wants us to be the best that He can make us to be. He wants us to succeed in all our endeavors, big and small. Why don't we acknowledge that and then walk forever and trust always the best friend we're ever going to have? Just a question. John Piper says, the new birth is the coming into our life of the Holy Spirit to create a whole new array of desires and loves and yearnings and longings. And when these desires are stronger than the opposing desires of the flesh, then we are walking by the Spirit. It's that overcoming. Because when our flesh or our emotions, our soul, rise above the Spirit, we're in trouble. When I let my emotions be number one, or I let my flesh run away with itself, instead of the barometer of peace, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I can get myself into an enormous amount of trouble. Not you, maybe, but me. Because we always, listen, we always, always, always act according to our strongest desires. It's very easy to get that thing going. I'll go into that a little bit more later. So therefore, walking by the Spirit is something the Holy Spirit enables us to do by producing in us strong desires that are in accordance with God's will. So it's a safe place, eh? It's a safe place walking and being led by the Holy Spirit. He's like, guard us. It's safe. Because the Holy Spirit is resident in us, with Him knowing us as intimately as He does, and we're all unique, okay? And He knows that, okay? What makes us think that He's actually sitting back twiddling His thumbs and thinking, okay, let's just see how you do without me? That's not what He does, okay? So often, going about my day, I find myself in a place that might be very mundane to all of you. Just mundane, okay? And I feel led to do something or say something. Normally, it's to complete strangers. Complete strangers, okay? And I do it because it's natural. I just do it. And then afterwards I walk away and I think, wow, oh, that was you, God. Imagine that. That was really you that led me to say that. It's him. It's him. All we have to be is the little conduit that goes, okay, okay. And the wonderful thing is that we're not always going to know it, because it's going to become so natural in this walk that we're just going to do it because it's good to do. You'd be surprised at the people out there who are waiting for us to do something kind and something good. So, do I miss him? Sure. Do I miss that little nudge from the Holy Spirit? A lot. Okay? But after years, it's a practiced thing. It's a learned behavior. After years of practicing, if you want to put it that way, with the realization of the fact that I'm actually am or was being led by the Spirit, even though I was a bit blind to know it, okay, then ding dong, sometimes I'm not even aware of that. Okay, it's like natural as breathing. It's like, just please don't hear me say I've got it all together, because trust me, I do not. There are times I'm sure that I miss it when I'm grumpy. I miss it. But I don't want to miss it. Because the excitement on the other side of my obedience for somebody else's blessing is way more important than my grumpiness, basically. Okay. Hallelujah, says Mark, who knows my grumpiness well. So just going about our day on the highways and the byways, as the scripture says, we'll be amazed at the adventures, enthralled by the ease of it. Enthralled by the ease of it. We'll marvel at the opportunities that he brings, and he brings, and he brings, and he brings. And he's patient with us. He's patient with us. Those beautiful Kairos moments that we know could actually have only been him. When we went to Halifax about a month ago, Kate and I had to go and do some grocery shopping, and we were in this by this till, and over here there was a very much more elderly woman than me, and she was like buying two bananas and just little things. And the Holy Spirit just nudged me, and I knew to like make signs at the guy behind her till and say, and hold up the debit card. So he kind of got it. She didn't see it. She was completely oblivious to the end, holding out her little $20. And that's fine, because I love doing that. It's precious to me. And it always gives you a chance to say, this is not from me. This is from Jesus. Anyway, so we leave, and I smile, and off I go. And I'm helping Kate. We're like two rows of cars away from the doors. And I feel this tap on my shoulder, and it's a lady. Very nicely dressed, lovely lady, a lot younger than me. And she's standing there, and I'm thinking, what have I done? You know. And she's tapping. She said, I just want you to know that I saw what happened in there. So I said, oh. She said, that lady. So I said, oh. She said, I've never seen that happen. I'm going to go and pay that forward. Now, apart from the blessing that I felt and the little lady who didn't understand, probably right until she got into her car or whatever, that was what got my heart going. I thought, Lord, don't make me lose those moments, because I'll miss you. I don't want to lose that. Because you never know on her clock where that lady is and where God's going to take her. Because she saw it's a very simple little thing, but it moved her enough to come two parking things away. You see what I'm saying? We don't know who's watching us, but we are those resident aliens. We are. Say, I'm a resident alien. Louder. Otherwise, I'll get the disco ball. You don't want that. So, remember that, because I've said before, evangelism is probably where I live most. God saves sinners to save sinners. God saves sinners to save sinners. That's us. He saved us to save others. He does the work, but he does the saving. But if we don't connect, then, okay. So it's not for a select few. The scripture says, do the work of the evangelist. You know, casting crowns. This is a nod from people, right? Casting crowns, right? There's one of their, the lyrics of one of their songs. Trust me, I'm not going to sing. If we are the body, it's called. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? This is what God said he would do in Ezekiel 36. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put in you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Isn't that cool? They're going to walk in his statutes. Hey, get excited. I want to see big smiles here. Coat hangers in your mouths. Grins at the very thought of walking in his statutes. So when we walk in the Spirit, we experience the fulfillment of this prophecy. When we're doing that, the Holy Spirit produces in us desires for God's way that are stronger than our fleshly desires. It's the Holy Spirit does that. You know, we do the possible. God does the impossible, right? So, being resident aliens, let's make that smart decision how to keep in step with him. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's not a Bridget idea. That's a biblical truth. Since we live by the Spirit, we do, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then I'm just going to say this word over and over and over. Love, 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 love. John. Oh, John. Oh, no, no. This was Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. This is such a smart front row, this, eh? 1 Corinthians 13, chapters, verse 3 says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast. But do not have love, I gain nothing. Because what pleases God is walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Kevin. Because if we're not being able to follow God's Holy Spirit, then we may find that there is a competing commitment to which we are unknowingly committed. I'd never heard of that before last week. I'd never thought of it, but I have a friend who teaches me things. And so I've had to learn this week what a competing commitment is. And I can see by the looks on your faces that you are hanging on my every word. A competing commitment is an agreement to do something that is in a state of rivalry with another commitment, another agreement. Okay, say it again. It is an agreement to do something that is in a state of rivalry with another agreement. There's a dude in the Bible, and he's got there too many H's in his name. Jephthah. J-E-P-H-T-H-A-A. Who made a vow to God in Judges that resulted in great victory for Israel and led to his promotion as their leader. He said this, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. How's that for a commitment? I've opened my mouth. I've made a commitment. Back in our radio station in South Africa, I was working there selling advertising, and they had a man who walked in the office of a prophet come in one day. And we were all so excited. You know, everybody's so excited when somebody who has the office of a prophet walks in. And he gave everybody else wonderful words. And I'm standing there thinking, I'm going to be lost and it's going to be the best. Prideful little snot that I was. And he looked at me and he said, there's a divine principle out of order with you in your life. You've promised God to do something and you haven't, and you walked away. Well, blow me down with a big feather. Like more like a brick. Because I knew immediately what it was. I'd started to write my book, and the computer crashed. And what did Satan say to Adam and Eve? Oh, did God really say? So those are the words that came to me. Did God really say, oh, please, you write a book? You. Oh, preposterous. And I sucked it all in and stopped writing it until the prophet came in and said, there's a divine principle out of order in your life. You've promised God to do something and you haven't. So I finished it. Took a while. Started again and finished it. I've gone right off my notes, but that's okay with that, hey? So for example, about being committed, at the moment I'm committed to a special diet. I want you to all be kind to my hips. It's going to regenerate, or it's supposed to be regenerating when I just leave those little brown bars alone. My metabolism. Okay, because that's apparently what's died, and I'm collecting wreaths. Okay, yeah. All right. So I'm all committed, okay? So along comes my week in Kentucky, and guess what they eat? With everything. With bacon, with porridge, with everything. Sausage gravy. Who knew there was such stuff? Not I. You can have it. Oh my goodness. Southern delicacy. Here, have some sausage gravy. I was able to say no. The temptation didn't touch me, didn't come anywhere near me. I smiled sweetly and said, oh, just not right now, thank you. Okay. Anyway, so I was able to withstand the pressure and temptation. You can all be glad about that. But in all things, big and small, anything that competes against what we know to be the Holy Spirit, guiding us, helping us, picking us up, nudging us forward, saying, come, okay, we need to say no. But we don't need to spit out the word no. I thought that's how no was always said. But I'm learning at last, at long last, at the age of, I'm 66 now this last month, so maybe when I was 65 for the last few months, I'm learning to say no to things that usurp my time, that take the time away from the call of God on my life. It's hard. They're not bad things I'm saying no to, okay? Not any of you, all right? But especially things that will ultimately exhaust me because I've not said no. Let's not forget this truth. The enemy has us running around doing a lot of good things. Sounds like a bit of a paradox, eh? Is that the word, paradox? Thank you, thank you. Not two pair of dogs here, no. No, not pairs of dogs. Sorry. This is their hope. But let's not forget that the enemy has us rushing around doing good things that we don't see and we don't discern. Okay. Tim Story. You heard of Tim Story, preacher? He wrote a book. He says, good idea or God idea? So if I say, there are ways of saying no. The latest way that I've learned is to say, and look sagely as I'm shaking my head. Have any of you get this, right? Say, I promise I won't do it to you. But out there, okay, I might say, just let me check my diary. Just let me have a little look and see. I'd love to, but like not right now. So like I do it at home, I tried it a couple of things, like the washing and the vacuum cleaner. Like, kidding. So I'm learning to discern. I'm learning to discern a lot. Because the enemy would try, believe you me, he would try to cripple my time. He would try to usurp my time that I could spend with you. He would try and keep me away from the call of God. What is it that you are called to? That you see that little foot out? You know that little, I'll just strip you up and keep you back a while. Just beware of those. We can just stand on his little head. So the last thing I want to share with you, darlings, is this. As you can tell, I'm on a journey at the moment, yet another, and I'm committed to it. Currently doing a Christian life coaching course. Okay, it's a journey. And it's not the easiest thing I've ever done because I'm discovering things about myself that I really don't like. But then there's some good that is the Holy Spirit, right? So, it's biblical. Okay? And it's greatly freeing, and it's God's timing. So it's right. I have that peace barometer is going static, stable. It's all okay. I'm sharing this with you because I think it's most impactful for us. Okay, it's a great opportunity to be Spirit-led. It's about the three R's. Not are you going to. R in the alphabet. R, apostrophe S. Okay. So, resentment, resistance, and revenge are those three. Okay. So I was horrified. I thought, not me. Never me. Okay. But truth be told, we all live with opportunities of being resentful. Can be on the 401. Can be here at the door. Nah. Can be anywhere at work. Somebody or someone says something to rub you up the wrong way, and immediately we all feel it. Oh, just a little bit of the first R, just a little bit of my goodness me. A little bit of resentment there, and they're right there. Right there. We have a choice. Right there, we have a choice to let it go, to forgive, to ask the Holy Spirit to show us what it's about, and to let it go. Because if we don't, we will swiftly move into resistance, and I'll just withhold. I'll just withhold. And inside you build up this wall, and you think it's justifiable, but it isn't. And that wall then leads to revenge, and I'll get you, and I'll just show you on the 401 how fast I can drive and how I can cut you off. I'm using it as a silly example, but in our lives, we can fall prey to that. So I'm learning, like David, short accounts. Okay. Because we have a choice. Because we are resident aliens. Okay. A friend once said to me, she's been in the church, Anne Arnold, she said, something comes at you. You become a product of what you believe and what you receive. Something comes at you. You have a choice to say, thank you, Lord, I don't have to receive that. And in the spirit, it just deflects. The fiery dart of the evil one will just deflect off of you. But you just say that. Thank you, Lord, I do not have to receive that. And you don't want that bitter root thing, promise you. Okay. We become a product of what we receive. So you're all going to go, yay, yay, clap, clap. She's finished now. She's on page 10. But I don't think the Holy Spirit's finished with us.